Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for being here with the Sound Health Options Show. We have an incredible guest today. I started reading her book last night. I could not put it down. It is powerful. It is incredible. We will be with Dr. Joanne White in just a few minutes. We have a few announcements. I want to confirm that Dr. White is on the show with us because Richard is not here today, and I'm trying to run the switchboard, and I'm not sure I'm doing things right. So, Dr. White, are you with us?
I am definitely with you, Sherry. Thanks so much.
Great. I have just a couple announcements, and I'll be right back to you.
Great.
We are not simultaneously broadcasting today. Richard is out on a special environmental conference. He does this incredible stuff with trying to protect the environment. He's even sent us information today about an article that we're going to share with people, which isn't about the environment, but kind of is. So we are only broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go over to 347-850-1407, you can join us. Excuse me. And I have not been able to get the chat to work, so we don't even have that. So if you have questions or comments, you could send them to my email, just Sherry Edwards, Sharry Edwards at gmail.com. We're coming to you from the studios of Sound Health and the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We are the largest alternative research center in Ohio. And what we mainly do is stick a microphone in somebody's face, and if they can talk or make noise, then we look at the frequencies of their voice, and based on our 30 years of gathering vocal profiles, we have proven that people with like issues have like vocal anomalies. We can give people back their frequency. We're working on people today who have tennis elbow and tennis knee, well, not today, but this week, and we've been able to reverse some of their pain, identify why they have the pain. So you'll be hearing more about this as we go along in the world, because we have proven that math as medicine is pretty likely going to be part of medicine of the future. And we're sponsored today by one of our hundreds of softwares, pre-vaccination risk factors, that we can look at children before and after vaccines and see what they need to help turn that vaccine into something useful. And since they're mandated now, I think it's going to be an important issue. And most of the time, it's quercetin, a form of a biflavonoid, that these kids can't use, and that renders the vaccine inert and sort of turns it back on whoever is getting the show. I think that we will give away allergies and pre-vaccination software with this show today. So if you want to be part of that drawing, just write to me or call the office, and that's on our website, soundhealthoptions.com. Couple other announcements. We have an upcoming two-day workshop on anti-aging, and it's November 3rd and 4th. It is absolutely free both days. The software to go with it is free, and we're trying to establish bioacoustic centers in every community. So we share these tools and solutions for self-health with anybody that we can. So get in touch with us. Check out our website, soundhealthoptions.com. Always lots of free videos, free classes there for people who want to make a difference. Okay, I'm going to introduce our guest. I'm going to read a short bio, but anybody who's ever read any of her books, what's in this bio can't be put into the words on a page. It's just so special. So Dr. Joanne White is an international award-winning, best-selling author and speaker. And by the way, Amazon 95% of the time gave her book 5 stars. That's incredible. She's a certified professional coach and energy master teacher who has helped millions of individuals and organizations shape their dreams, overcome adversity, master their own success and triumph. She specializes in innovation, transformation, and energy medicine. Known globally as the Success Doctor, Dr. White is the executive producer and host of the popular Power Your Life TV and radio shows. She's been featured online and in national and international media outlets such as CNN.com, Good Housekeeping, WebMD, more. Dr. Joanne has made frequent guest appearances on radio and television networks, NBC, CBS, Fox, and Voice America. She's also the founder of the recently launched Power Your Life Network and was named a 2015 Worldwide Branding Top Female Executive for Professional Coaching by Worldwide Who's Who and featured in Women of Distinction magazine in 2016. Her book, Bully Free, and we will talk about that one too, has received the 2015 Mom Choice Award for Excellence and naming among the best in family media products and services. Dr. White, I am spellbound by your book. I started reading it last night, and I became part of the scenario. And I, you know, sometimes our guests don't show up, and this book is so powerful. I thought, if it so happens that we break down or she doesn't show up, I'm going to read part of this book up front. I find it absolutely incredible, but I'm confused by it at the same time. I'm confused by it, and I'm going to ask you a two-part question here. There is such an incredible need for this book, but in the front of it, there is so many disclaimers. So to have to write that many disclaimers on a book like this just seems incredible to me. More heaven, because every child is special. This book is certainly special. Welcome, Dr. White, to our show, and tell me why do you think there was such a need for this book? And I think most of our audience knows why. But then, why all this need for the disclaimers up front?
So when you're talking about, thank you so much, Sherry, for the beautiful introduction and for having me on the show. When you're talking about the disclaimers, before I get into a little bit about the book and my heart connection to it and to the children that I work with, what kind of disclaimers are you talking about?
Oh, this is not medicine, it's this, there was 3 different sets of disclaimers. Let me see if I can go back to the beginning of the book. I have it here on my
Oh, that's iPad. Just what you have to put in, you know, that's not, it's not medicine. A lot of the, here's what happened, okay? A lot of the techniques, this book is based, Sherry and your audience, it's based, listeners, based on a true story, based on, and it goes back in history, back in time to when I was actually hired as the first teacher for the Philadelphia public school system to work with children on the spectrum and children with special needs who previously were denied access or were kicked out of school because of the severity of the disability. Now, we're going back many, many years, probably like 30 years more. And so what happened is that the government took a look at so many kids were not allowed in school. And these kids are educable, but they were not allowed in school. And schools did not have programs for them. So there became a federal mandate that said to all the states in the United States, look, you have to figure out what to do. These kids are being left behind. They're not having a free access to a free public appropriate education, and something needs to be done. Now, before that, there were special education classes because I was a teacher, but this was entirely different. And so basically I came into this school, the first little girl who in the book, well, I had to change the names, but the first little girl and the book is called Eva, and she came in a taxi, which said a lot about the time too, Shari, because they were afraid to have this little sweet girl who had autism on a school bus. So they sent her in a taxi, okay? And many of the faculty and even the parents of so-called typical kids were very anxious and very upset about this happening. And throughout the book, you know, some things that get highlighted is the specialness of these kids. We're all special. And to really ask the readers to relate to these children. And what I had to do and that's the unconventional part. What I had to do, and maybe that's where the disclaimers come from, was to figure out how to reach these kids. And so I used alternative measures. I used movement. I used play therapy. I used whatever I could, which wasn't always what I had learned when I had gone for my master's and my doctorate degree. And well, that was later on. But when I had gone for my master's degree and when I had gone for my undergraduate degree in education and special education. So I did what I had, you know, I did whatever I had to do. And to some extent, my sense was that I had to enter these children's world to be able to, here were these kids who oftentimes parents were told, these kids need to be hospitalized or institutionalized, you can't keep these kids at home. And so I did whatever I needed to do. And I recognized that by getting into their world, allowing them to see that there was somebody who understood them, somebody who appreciated who they were, where they were coming from, their fears, their passions, their mistakes, their anger, whatever it was, which we all have on some level, only then, I thought, would I be able to then introduce them to the world of learning and mathematics and English, and that's what happened. So a lot of the techniques, like I said, they're being utilized today, which again, we're talking like 35 plus years. And today, a lot of these techniques are being used to reach these children with incredible results. But at the time, it was pretty, it's still innovative today, but at the time it was like off the charts. So probably that's why, because it's not medicine, and a lot of what I did in the book, which is why I made it fiction, even though it's based on, like I said, on what really happened, is I wanted to create a feeling of being able to get inside these children's heads. So a lot of the inner dialogue is something that I had to second guess. I had to make up based on my knowledge of working with children and working with adults and working within the field. And that's why it's like, okay, I mean, who's to say that this is what Eva thought about, or where Eva went to this fortress, or what? Who's to say that Ricard? So that's what happened, and that's why it was fiction. Sorry for the long-windedness, but you can tell how passionate I still am about this, about these children and about this book.
Eva's story is one of infinite patience. A little girl comes in feeling not safe, totally afraid, fear fearful of the whole world, and you move her through all of these pieces, from just getting to touch her to the stinky episode to being a champion speller. I think our audience would love to hear about that story, if you can tell it, if you're allowed to.
Sure. Again, it's based on another little girl who came in. She had what's called echolalia, which means that she repeated everything that I said or anything that anybody said. So if I said, "Hello, Shari," she would say, "Hello, Shari. How are you, Shari? How are you, Shari?" And so that's how we started. But she was also very angry. She used to have temper tantrums, and she used to hit herself and do all sorts of things. And so here was a little girl who was, I believe at the time, like 8 years old, and yet her presumed mental age was like a child of four or three. So I thought, well, what do? We have to play. We have to excite her, get her interested, get her motivated. And what we did was I built up trust with her and played with her, and with her it was also utilizing movement and dance because she used to twirl a lot and just be in her own world. So what I did a couple of times initially when she was so distant from me was kind of imitate her movements, imitate her twirling right next to her. And she would kind of watch me out of the corner of her eye, like pretending she didn't see me, but I knew she did, and eventually would move closer to me, and eventually we were able to do that together, which was a really big victory. And as we went on and she got more connected, she began to love words and pictures. And there's also a very powerful scene in there. She was afraid of what she called boogeymen. And I don't know if that came from family or what, but she used to always say, "No boogeyman, no boogeyman, no boogeyman." And she'd get, and you could see that she was very upset about it. But again, her language was limited and she did not disclose what that was about. So one day, and this is in the book, one day I took some clay and said to her, you know, "Let's make the boogeyman." And I was trying to elicit her actually giving me language that wasn't the repetitive, you know, "Hello, Shari, hello, Shari." And because this was so important to her, it was a very pivotal moment, because I sat there with this clay and she was sitting next to me. She was moving my hands to do it, but she wasn't speaking. And I said, "What do you want? You know, what do you want, Eva? What do you want me to do?" And she'd say, "Make eyes, make ear." And that was, there was this language, this conversation that was emerging. And eventually we pummeled the clay boogeyman, and she laughed and gave me eye contact. And so, I mean, there were so many little beginnings like that within her story and in the book with each child in a very different way.
You create such pictures, such enormous pictures with your words. And one of them for me was a little girl coming to your classroom and testing everything with her tongue, the blackboard, whatever was going on. How can we, as people out here who can't understand that behavior, can you teach us to understand and accept those kinds of behaviors? I didn't get to read your book clear through. I fell asleep, sorry to say, about 3 o'clock and didn't get to finish it, but I'm going right back to it after the show, because
I appreciate it.
And it pulls you in. It pulls you into the picture. So where does that, I don't want to call it tolerance, that's a bad word to describe what you were able to do, but how did you accept, where did you find the patience to deal with a little child that licked everything and licked you and where does that strength come from in you?
I would like to know. You know, I think it's just the passion. I see so many parents of children with special needs and children with kids on the spectrum and just parents in general who learn patience. I don't think it's something that you're born with, but they learn patience out of love and out of wanting to see their children grow and emerge into these beautiful beings. And I believe that as a teacher, and I was a young teacher, and as a teacher, I had that level of passion. I remember what changed my career. I love writing, and I was going to go get my undergraduate degree, Shari, in English literature. And then when I was about 17 and a half, almost 18, what happened was I was working in a day camp, and I was asked by this visionary director if I would work in a program that he was putting together with kids with special needs, which was at that point never really done before, especially, you know, even though it was somewhat segregated from the rest of the camp. And I said yes. And I was a little bit afraid. I didn't know what to expect. But I fell in love with these kids. And so I changed my career because I felt I was able to connect to them. And I remember one little girl who used to bite her arms and bite the inside of her mouth, and she had welts all over her arms from doing that, and she had also very ritualistic behavior, and she also was an enuretic, which means she urinated in her pants a lot, and people just stayed away from her. The counselors didn't want to be near her. Other kids didn't want to be near her. Well, I decided that how do you know, we all need connection. We all need touch. We all need validation in some way. So I would help her get into her bathing suit, and I'd be in my bathing suit, and we'd go into the shower, and I'd help her wash and sing to her, and she started to blossom. And people, you know, again, love makes you blossom, right? She started to blossom and emerge, and so I think it was those early beginnings that just touched my heart, and I wanted to, you know, these kids were beautiful, and why shouldn't we know that? Why do we have to keep these kids so apart from us and listen when somebody says, oh, well, she's best served in an institution, which is not true. I mean, she learned, she was bright and gifted in so many ways, and yet she never had the opportunity in school before.
You know, one of the things that is a theme throughout all the parts of your book that I read is that word connection. We all need connection. Even people who don't have special needs need that connection. And I think, as you said that word just now, that's a lesson for me in this book. But somebody just sent me a question, an audience question, and said, why do you think there are more of these children now, or are there, and are we just now paying attention?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't have one pat answer to it. These children are being identified more easily than beforehand. Their parents, at the time that I was working with these kids, parents kept these kids hidden. I mean, there was such a negativity about bringing kids like this out in public that, and there was shame associated. You know, there were all different kinds of feelings, and even though everything isn't perfect today, and I'll share some of that with you later, at that time, being out in the world with a kid with special needs was just not done, and people were not tolerant, and they were more impatient. So I think that there is that level of visibility. We're doing more research. There are also people say that there are many different reasons, and I'm not sure that I want to adopt one like shots or, you know, I don't want to say exactly why because I'm not sure why, but I certainly think that there is something going on, and again, it probably isn't just the fact that there's more attention and more visibility. So, but again, you know, I'm a practitioner. I'm a teacher. I'm not necessarily a doctor in that field that would really know. And I even from what I've read too, Sherry, even doctors are somewhat mystified. And yet the numbers are startlingly increasing. And again, is it visibility? Is it something in the air? Is it some toxins? What is it? And I don't think that anybody has an exact specific reason that they say, okay, here, this is it. This is what's causing this increase.
Are you allowed to tell us what eventually happened to Eva, or is that part of the book that people need to buy your book and read about it? I can't wait.
Well,
to
I would hope that they would buy the
out.
Book. She evolves. She starts to talk. And that's part of the beauty of that connection that we were talking about, being able to get into her head, being able to accept her, whereby she was able to feel the trust and accept me. And I remember that was actually a quote from the little girl that I work with. She said, I love people, eventually that she was able to initiate conversation and initiate language. It's still a little bit stilted, but it would come out and it wouldn't just be in, repeating what somebody would say. And so, and when she got really adept at spelling, she would make lists of things. I remember we took everybody to a department store for Christmas, to a mall at the time, if it was even called a mall, who knows. And she was making lists and lists and lists of what she wanted to tell Santa to bring her for Christmas, and she initiated that. So she went from just totally twirling in her own world and not paying attention and repeating to getting engaged in language and with people to some extent and blossoming. And she still remains very special in my heart.
And she was able to look ahead to a trip and Santa. That's incredible.
We also was talking about it, like our trip to Santa is 3 days, that kind of thing, which you do in school to help children. But yes, she was able to do that, and she was able to make lists for Santa.
That's incredible. We have a comment from the audience, not really a question, but you can comment if you want. He says, my sister has an autistic child and believes it was caused by some medications given too early.
I can't say, and I don't have enough information in that regard to really be able to be the best judge of that. All I know is that, like you said, it's the numbers are pretty astounding, and I don't know what's going on. And at the same time, many of these children have such special gifts and such ways of teaching us that there's something important for us to learn here, too.
As I said, I didn't get to finish your book, and I want to go back and devour the rest of it. But tell us, is it all stories? Is there strategies in there, coping skills for us, the people who really don't understand?
Well, I think some of that comes from the stories and the interaction, that you get a sense of, well, what did this teacher do, meeting me? What did I do? How did I, what were the strategies? And some of that comes out just through the experiential stories, how they unfold. I mean, you just talked about Eva. There were other children. There was one child who his name was Ricardo, who was incredibly angry. And eventually what I did to help him, he was angry at the world, he was angry at his family, he was angry, he didn't want to be in school, he didn't want to do his work. So I helped him become, feel special in terms of being, I think I made him a monitor, and helping him feel like he was important, and showing him that even when he was telling me horrific things. I hate you. I hate you, Miss Joe, he would say. I hate you. I mean, I knew he didn't hate me, and he just had to get his anger out. So a lot of that stuff I would ignore because I heard that a lot when kids didn't want to do their work. I don't like you, Miss Joe. Which is what they said, or Ms. Joanne, whatever. And I knew that that was just their own frustration. So sometimes it's like what you know, sometimes you got to pick your fights or you got to figure out what's important. And I remember one scene where he, and this is, again, based on a true story, where he was asked to do his work. You know, the children knew that they had individual work to do and group work to do together in terms of trying to communicate and whatever. And they could earn play time if their work was done, which was very important at the end of the day. And he was doing his, I don't know what he was doing, a math assignment or whatever, and he's angry, and he's saying, I'm not doing this, and he's cursing a little bit. I'm not doing this damn paper. I'm not, and yet he's doing it. So I ignored it because he, and eventually he did the paper, and I said to him, great job. So in a way, there are techniques without specifically saying, well, I ignore it because the book is fiction, and I do want to pull you into the story and do want you to see these kids and to fall in love with them like I did, and to recognize that it's not just about patience, but it's really about wanting to see the best in everybody and in these children, and helping them access their inner gifts and helping them access whatever they need so that they could function and be in the world.
95% of the people who read your book and put a review on Amazon gave you 5 stars, the highest rating. What kind of feedback are you getting from the parents and the people who read this book?
Well, I had a teacher that works in a school and for children with special needs, and she said, actually, she's a speech and language therapist, pathologist, and she said, I'm looking at my kids differently from reading this book, because, again, you know, when you work with kids, sometimes you don't see the story behind it or whatever. And parents, I mean, what's also very important to this book is we are working with the Autism Cares Foundation in Pennsylvania, so that hosts a lot of the proceeds for More Heaven, because every child is special, is going to go to this nonprofit organization who are helping children on the spectrum and their families, and I just think it's very important work, and the people who head it are dear, and they have an autistic son. So, you know, they read it, and also other parents read it, and they said that one parent said, you know, I cried recognizing me and all what I have to go through and the patience and the challenges and whatever and how exhausting it could be, because it is. I remember at the end of the day, I could not talk. I have to go home and take a nap and just kind of get refreshed, because it was intense, and I had to think so quickly and do what, like I said, even though I would plan things, I had to also so many times just improvise to make things happen.
I'm amazed that it's only $3.99 at Amazon.
That's the Kindle version. There's also, and because I wanted to make it accessible too, but also there's a paperback and a hardcover on Amazon, and
More Heaven, Because Every Child is Special by Dr. Joanne White. I recommend it highly. Grab it today on Kindle. You won't be able
before the price goes up too.
Okay. some of the things that you've brought up is connection, acceptance, patience. And I've sort of asked this question before, but I'm going to ask it again. How can we as parents and grandparents learn your techniques and learn how to connect with these kids on their level?
Well, I'm going to be doing some seminars about that, so people could contact me at Joanne with an E, J-O-A-N-N-E, at drjoannewhite.com, Joanne at drjoannewhite.com, or go to my website for drjoannewhite.com. And also, I think that what's important is, firstly, to what, you know, what I keep saying is that often the way to reach children who are in their own world is to be is initially through a level of acceptance. And a lot of it is, you know, compassion and instinct. How would you feel if you were in a classroom or you were in a group of friends and nobody talked to you because your behavior was strange or people didn't want to sit near you because you did something that was different from the rest of the group? So how would you feel? Uncomfortable, like set apart? And so being able to get to that level of acceptance whereby, wow, I'm appreciated for who I am. She's not just focusing on the fact that I curse. She's not just focusing on the fact that I'm angry. She's focusing on the fact that I'm scared and that I really want to be here, but I don't know how, or I really want to reach out, but I don't know how. I think parents, I've seen some incredible parents, Sherry, who do so much to connect with their children. They do what needs to do, and they improvise. And throughout, like Bully Free, which is an ebook, is also about interviews that I've done with families and children and adults who had different forms of special needs. I changed the names in there too, but it's based on real interviews. And some of these parents were amazing, parents that actually had to figure out what to do, went into the field as advocates, as teachers, as consultants. Somebody's doing a blog about her autistic child and helping parents, and they do whatever they need to do to help themselves and to help one another. And to me, you know, there's a lot of support out there if you just check it out too. But to me, it's just important that so many of these parents have done so much to, you know, to make changes. Even way back when I was actually in this classroom and pioneering this program, there were parents and who would talk, would form alliances, and parents who actually, I remember that there were hearings going on at the time about special education, and parents, and I also was included, were there to talk about how valuable and important these children are, and they shouldn't be left by the wayside or undervalued. And I think that parents have played a very major role in shifting the tide and in helping to change legislature and in helping to create more social acceptance. And we're not there yet. We're really not there yet, but it's better than it was, much better.
One of the statements on your website, drjoannewhite.com, is, are you ready to transform your life and business and jumpstart your dreams? So I want to know more about your seminars. Is it how to cope with these kids? Is it jumpstarting your dreams? Tell us the format, where this is happening, how it's happening. I want to know all about it, because I want to know your system, and I want to know you and your open heart much more. And I think our audience is getting that feel too. So
okay, well, I do so many different things. I kind of agree with Leonardo da Vinci that we can do so much and be so much. He was an artist, a botanist, an engineer, a nature lover, a writer. And so I have expanded in terms of what I've done. I actually coach small business owners and entrepreneurs, and I also had an injury many years ago where I couldn't walk and I couldn't, I love to dance and I couldn't dance and I couldn't sit. And so I started to look for I wasn't getting the help that I needed. So I started to look for other ways of healing myself so that I could function. And I got very much involved in energy medicine and in alternative forms of healing initially to help myself. And then when it was effective, I started to train in it to help other people. So a lot of the work that I do is not just with families and children and professionals within the field of special education and autism and on the spectrum, but in many other arenas. I just I believe that we're here to do service, and I love seeing people grow, whether it's seeing them open up a new business or seeing their relationship just blossom, or being able to help somebody write or just be able to get rid of fear or loss or whatever it is. And so I think I have many different areas and sides to me, as I believe we all do. And on the website, I mean, I also do seminars for stress and seminars for helping business owners move ahead. I have two other websites, poweredbysuccess.biz, which is geared more to business owners, and it's a whole beautiful e-marketing system, and a recently launched Power Your Life Network, which invites all different people that we're going to promote who are in many different areas, people who are skilled in social media, in spirituality, in relationships, and to be able to have them on the network to actually promote and applaud what they're doing and how they're helping other people. So I just think that I love to do different things too. So one of the things I love to do is I love to go from one thing to another, which it's not that I don't have focus. I could focus on something for hours, but then it's also great. Let's say I'm writing a chapter, because right now I have been, and I'm in a book that's coming out in November, 100 Voices, and I just finished the chapter for them. And then actually working with a business owner that I'm working with to help her move her business into more corporate. And then a parent that I'm working with whose child was bullied, and I've been working with her and with her son. I just feel that firstly, I think we're here to learn. I think we're here to grow. We're here to love, and we're here to learn how to expand who we are and to tap into. I think we all have all of these incredible gifts and talents, and to be able to tap into them and utilize them for ourselves and also for the highest good of everyone. I think that's kind of who I am and why I'm here.
I'm looking on your website, and there's a book, Mastering the Art of Success. Is that out yet?
That's been out for a few years, yeah.
I didn't find it anywhere. I'm going to go back looking.
Hey, I actually have copies if people want it. It's on my website. And we're revamping the store a little bit, but it's on the website. And Mastering the Art of Success, it's co-authored with Jack Canfield and, I mean, Les Brown, Mark Victor Hansen, and my chapter in that book, because it's a chapter, is really, really about how things have changed in business. And that many businesses, and this was written that many business, really for you to succeed, and that, you know, I called it the heart and soul of leadership, that businesses are rallying around different causes and and basically thinking about giving back, and that's important, just like what we're doing with More Heaven, the proceeds going to the Autism Cares Foundation. I think it's important that business owners and entrepreneurs are taking a step forward, not just to for their own bottom line, but helping other organizations, nonprofits, whatever, move forward in certain areas. And that's how we really start changing the world and making it a better place. So I think that's important.
Well, this mastering the art of success also runs through your More Heaven book, because you're reaching out to where those children are and starting with something that they can understand. Eva was twirling, you twirled with her, you became one with her. So mastering that art of success, that isn't just business as far as I can see. It's in many, many aspects of your life. This is an audience question. Well, actually two now. Do you work with individuals or just seminars and groups?
I work with individuals, and I love working with individuals. I can work with individuals by phone or by Skype, or people come into the office, and I also work with groups, and we're also going to be doing some classes online. But yes, I love working with individuals, and I think that again, if somebody wants to get a hold of me, Joanne, Joanne at drjoannewhite.com, let me know you're interested. It's also fascinating because when I had to really heal my injuries, and I never thought I was ever going to be able to sit in a car again. I never thought I was ever going to be able to dance again. Yeah, I mean, and I remember that when I felt better, I was able to take a ride to the shore and look at the ocean, and the tears are coming down my face because it was like, wow, I mean, this is what a treasured, what a special moment that I never thought I'd be able to experience again, and yet I was very grateful. I just think it's important. Well, you know, I help people access their inner guidance and their guides, and oftentimes when I work with people, I get messages for them from either their guides or you know, this may sound strange to some people, or sometimes their deceased people from the other side come in with messages. So my work is very diverse. I've grown, I've expanded, and I think, again, that's what we're here to do, and become proficient in the areas that excite you and move you. And for me, it's also about helping to promote change and to promote equality and to promote the acceptance of who we are. And I think it also starts with accepting oneself, believing in oneself, being able to acknowledge your gifts as well as the challenges that you've had and the mistakes. We've all made mistakes. I remember one time, and I'm sorry if I'm long-winded here. I remember one time I wrote this book, and it was Secrets to Success, Relationship Secrets, and I remember it was edited. I edited it. Somebody else edited. I mean, several people edited. I paid for it, and the book finally came. We made all these copies, and there was an error. How to Love, Secrets to Lasting Relationships. It's one of my earlier books. But I had to I opened the book, and all I could see was this one little tiny typo, but to me it was larger than life, and I had to get comfortable with, you know what, yeah, there's a mistake in there. Okay, so I'm not ruined, the book isn't ruined, and life goes on, and it's okay. Nobody else saw the mistake or ever found it except for me, or at least nobody told me.
I'm looking through your site, and I was attracted by the title here, Energy Medicine, because that's what we do. And I like this statement. I love helping others connect with their core divinity, wellness, and inner wealth of gifts and talents. And I think from your book, More Heaven, the talent of bringing out these kids to who they really are, and loving in them and accepting them in some really strained situations, is a wonderful acknowledgement of your gift of being able to touch your own core divinity and accept people. So thank you for being on the planet.
Well, thank you.
I have a lot more questions.
One of them
is from our audience about they want us to backtrack a bit and want you to talk about your book, Bullying.
Bully Free.
Okay.
It's 12 vignettes, and I interviewed parents, and I interviewed someone who was having a lot of difficulty with the school system at the time. Her daughter was in a wheelchair, and there was a new principal that came in, and she had to have a special exit plan, or if there was a fire drill or some kind of emergency, if she was bumped in the wrong way, she could have bled to death. And there was a lot of challenge with reluctance on the part of the new principal or administrator to create a special plan for this girl, and it was life and death. So that's one of the stories. Another story is I interviewed this young woman who was ostracized because of her special so-called disability, and she at the time was working in a store, I think it was a department store or whatever, and training other people. And it was about how she had almost committed suicide at one point because of not feeling valued and being able to her parents eventually got her into a private school that nurtured her as well as other kids, and she blossomed, and she was talking to me as she, you know, here she is training other people and in a store, and how things had changed and how she was able to feel good about herself and to be able to learn something and grow and take on a job that she, where she felt worthwhile and accepted and was able to teach others. So those stories were heartwarming. There were a few stories, and I would interview parents and interview kids and interview adults, young adults who had that a disability or something. And sometimes I'd have to get off because I was recording it on the phone, and sometimes I'd have to get off and cry because the story, you know, afterwards the stories were so intense. But I also wanted the book to be uplifting. So many of the stories had a happy ending. I mean, like this young girl, whereby she was able to feel good about what she was doing. And other stories, there's another story about a sibling. I interviewed a sibling of a brother who was autistic, and what he was doing to help other children because of his sensitivity to children who were different or children with special needs. And a mother who actually went into, her child was autistic and actually started to work with school systems to go in and to help bridge the separation between typical and so-called non-typical children and get them to connect with one another and to see the value with one another and to teach and to learn and all that. So that's Bully Free. And that's on, I believe that's on Amazon. You can also get that on my website. And we're probably going to have a few specials, prices for the holidays. I also have a book called Joy, which gives a lot of experiential activities for people to do to create, because I believe that joy is within us. You can respond to all the joys out there as well, but you can also create your own joy and how to access your inner joy and your inner wisdom to be able to utilize that.
We have a comment from the audience. They went to look for your books in Amazon, and they put Joanne as one word, and nothing came up. So if you're looking for Dr. White...
J-O, capital A-N-N-E. It's like two words. Sometimes people... Right. So, and I'll check, because they should be there. And it may be under Dr. Joanne White, D-R, Joanne White, but they should be there.
And when she, well, when she separated the two words, Joe and Ann, she was able to find your books. But I'm looking at your books on your site, A Journey Within, Self-Discovery for Women, Emotional Wellness for Women, Volume 2 and 3. That, those are a whole nother show. This is absolutely great.
Thank you. I love, like I said, I love to write, and several of those books are co-authored books with some wonderful other authors, and I also have a radio show, Power Your Life Radio, so I also feature lots of different kinds of people, artists, authors, business owners, people who are teaching about spirituality. Yeah, I think it's important to spread the word about how special we all are and be able to help people access their gifts and bring them out into the world. And that's been my mission in many different arenas with many different people, families, businesses. And it feels good to kind of live on track with my mission. I've also taught at Temple University and at Camden County College. At Temple University, I've taught in the special ed and education departments, but at Camden County College, I was teaching alternative classes about how to access your life purpose and access your inner guidance. And I love it all, Shari.
It sounds like you come completely from your heart, and I love that feeling. I'm going to make a political statement here, and then I think we have room for one last question. The political statement here is about bullying and finding your core. And I think what's going on politically and people calling each other bad names and not really getting to the center of who the other person is, but just trying to cut them off, I think that is a very negative thing going on in our country. And with that question in mind, what do you think needs to be done and an overview of what we can do with these special needs kids, with finding our core, with being emotionally well for women, of getting our businesses up and running with joy and acceptance? Where would you suggest people start, and what would you suggest we do?
I think the first thing to start with is oneself, and to start with taking a look. Oftentimes people aren't introspective, really kind of taking a look at oneself and not just seeing the flaws and what they consider negativity, because we're our worst critics, but seeing their gifts and their talents and take a look at where their passion is. And I think that we're all here to make a difference. And I agree with all about, you know, bullying can take place anywhere in any arena, even if it's like cyberbullying. Or so I think it's important to recognize, again, about how we want to be treated. Do you want to be ostracized? Do you want to be bullied? Because oftentimes it's about having empathy to recognize about what somebody else is going to through by appreciating whether or not that's something we could handle or we would even want to face in some way. So having that level of compassion initially for ourselves, and then extending it out to our children, to our communities, to causes that are important to us, to the world. And even, I remember, I don't know if we're running out of time, I remember I love taking walks. I call them power walks because I get guidance and it just helps me clear my head. They're kind of meditative. And one time I was in this woodsy area. There are trails in there. And I saw these kids throwing rocks at these ducks, and I went up to the child and I said, "Why are you doing that? I mean, why do you want to hurt them? They're afraid of you." And so the children stopped, and that they kept watching me because I needed to finish my walk, and then they continued, and I finally went to their parents, who were sitting off on a bench somewhere, having at a table having a conversation, and I said, "Your children are throwing rocks at those ducks. And they don't need to hurt anybody." And finally, the parents. So I think that we're here, too. You know, I thought, one of my friends said, Joanne, what are you doing? Well, I feel that we're here to also educate people. That kind of behavior, whether it's towards another child or to an animal, is just not acceptable, period.
We need more from you. So how can listen to your show?
You can go to my website, drjoannewhite.com. You can take a look at my radio show is on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Power Your Life. I'm also in social media, and the other website to look at is poweryourlifenetwork.com, where there are many other wonderful people that I'm promoting and helping. And email me, Joanne, or check me out on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google+. Just connect with me. I love to respond to people who like to know what you're interested in. And certainly if anybody wants my help in any of those arenas that we talked about, I'm more than happy to offer that and to offer service.
We will put all of these links up on our website at soundhealthoptions.com. Go to the radio tab and then to Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see lots of information about Dr. White. Thank you for being here. It's been a show filled with joy, as far as I'm concerned. I know that people got a lot out of it. They're sending me Skype messages here. They love your attitude, and we will certainly have you back. I'd like to talk more about business and more about women's health, so we will get in touch with you if you have time to schedule with us again. I would love it.
I would love it too, Shari, and I will extend an invitation for you to be on my Power Your Life show. So, and thanks to your audience, because I think that the more that we listen and the more that we access who we are and recognize that we not only individually but collectively can make changes, can really move ourselves, our community, our world, our education systems forward. I think that's kind of recognizing that we have the ability to power our lives, and I think it's important. So thank you so much. You're a blessing, and thanks for all that you do, Shari.
Thank you to our audience. Thank you, Dr. White. I hope you're having fun. Richard, out on your escapade about saving the environment, we love you for it. And we'll see all of you next week. We do have a Tuesday show that we're doing, Happy Hour, and I think we're going to do an audience demo of our software on anti-aging and give some of those away to people. Also, check out our portal, soundhealthportal.com. It's free for you to join, and you can jump on there and find out what your nutritional needs, your muscle needs, and your anti-aging needs in the 30 days to come. So later.